Thanks for joining us for another awesome message from C3 Church Toronto. Our heart is that these podcasts would be a tool that helps you connect to God. If you need more info on our church, check out our website at www.c3toronto.com. Now grab a coffee and prepare your heart for a powerful word from God.
Well, guys, my name is Chrissy, and I'm part of the team here if we've never met. Hello. I've just come from the West Campus. And I mean, I thought they were on fire, but whoa, look out. I am at East Campus. Come on. Whoa. Pastor Greg, Pastor Vanessa. Man, what is going on? Whoa. Amazing. Well, I'm really pumped because we're launching a new series today. Yeah, we are. I don't know if we have the screen art to go up there, but it's called, get ready, The Climb. Whoa. Amazing. So this series is all about climbing with Jesus. And do you know, the Christian life is all about climbing. It's not about being passive. It's not about sitting still, but it's about climbing. But hey, I've got some good news. Yeah? Who likes good news? I love good news. The good news is we're not doing it alone because we're doing it with Jesus. And guys, I also have some more good news. You ready? Okay, I spent a lot of time researching mountain climbing this week. It is good news. So get ready for lots of like mountain climbing terminology. I also watched a couple of movies, and by a couple means I watched the same movie twice because I fell asleep the first time that I was watching it. So, you know, I'm well prepared. I'm fascinated with mountain climbing. Not because I would do it, because I'm not that silly, but because, you know, I just find it fascinating that people would risk their entire life to climb a mountain. So anyway, so our series is called The Climb, but the good news is climbing with Jesus is safe. So we're going to spend our summer in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, and this is the longest sermon that Jesus ever spoke. It's the longest recorded message in the Bible, which is pretty cool. And so it's actually called Sermon on the Mount or Mountain. Oh, wow. Isn't that amazing? We're doing a series about the climb. Man, we must have really smart pastors to be able to come connect the two together. And so not only is it the longest sermon that Jesus ever spoke, but it also contains something called the Beatitudes, which is all about the eight blessings. And that's how it starts off. So maybe you might have heard a little bit about it. But who's ready to jump in? I want to read the opening scripture. In Matthew 5, verse 1, says this, when Jesus saw his ministry drawing huge crowds, he climbed a hillside. Those who were apprenticed to him, the committed, climbed with him. Arriving at a quiet place, he sat down and he taught his climbing companions. Okay, now I'm a very visual person, so I'm just going to set the scene for you. You guys ready? Okay, so Jesus is teaching. He's teaching down at the bottom of the mountain. And there's a huge crowd, massive crowd. And then all of a sudden, he just leaves. He just decides, I'm just going to go up the mountain. I mean, that's a little bit strange to me. He doesn't say anything. He doesn't say, come on, guys, come with me. He just leaves and heads up the mountain because he knows that those who really want the message will follow him. Jesus wasn't running away from the crowd. He had more for those who were willing to climb. And so he sits down. Now, I mean, that's how they did it in the day. They sat down. I don't know about you. This actually doesn't look very comfortable, but he was sitting down, and you guys would all be standing if you were actually listening to Jesus speak. I mean, I feel quite comfortable right now. Okay, that's not true. This is not that comfortable, but imagine that it was, and he was sitting down, and everyone's surrounding him. The disciples are surrounding him, and he begins to teach. He had no microphone, no megaphone. There was no big sound system happening on the mountain. But if you didn't climb, not only were you not going to see him because he was sitting down, but you wouldn't hear him either. They had to follow Jesus to hear his message. But they had to get uncomfortable to benefit from it. Do you know, it would have been hot. It would have been hard to hear. They climbed, you know, who knows how long it took to climb the mountain. Maybe it took hours, but they climbed this mountain. They just followed after him. And they stood for hours because they understood the value of just one word from Jesus. it was worth the climb. And I wonder if you came to church that desperate this morning. I wonder if you came that desperate that you would be willing to come into church, that you would be willing to stand for hours, that you would be willing to get hot and sweaty and get a bit uncomfortable to be able to hear the word of God. You know, we come into church and, you know, we walk in, we say hello to people, we get our coffee. You probably don't say it like that, but we get our coffee, we come in, we sing a few worship songs, and then we sit down for maybe an hour. We get a freezy because that's, you know, the church is nice and that's what we do. And then we listen to Pastor Sam, who's kind of like gone over and over and, you know, travailed over a message for us. And then we sit there and we pick apart the bits and pieces that we want to choose. And then we walk out of here and then we wonder why we're not benefiting from it. But here's the thing. It's the same word of God. He's preaching the same words that Jesus was preaching, and yet we kind of decide what we're going to take and what we're not going to take. But here's the thing. Imagine if we lent in. Imagine if we were on the edge of our seat every Sunday, that we were leaning in, wanting to get every piece out of the Word of God. If we actually wanted to benefit from the Word of God. Growth is uncomfortable. Man, I wish it wasn't. But it is. The process isn't always enjoyable. In fact, most of the time, it's not. Do you know in the movie that I watched this week, it talks about climbing Everest. Yeah, the movie was Everest, just in case you're wondering. But they ask the question to every one of the climbers, because they pay like a lot of money to climb Everest. And they ask them, they're like, man, why would you do this? Like, why? Like, you could die. At the very least, you'll probably end up with frostbite and, you know, bits and pieces of your limbs. You might not come back with all your limbs. And they're like, why would you do that? And at the end of the day, it's actually a lot of pain. And that's what they said. You know what? Like, we climb to get to the summit, but we understand that the process is just pain. It's not enjoyable. The process is pain. But here's the thing. The benefits of growth are enjoyable. But you can't just skip to the benefits of growth if you don't grow. You have to go through the process of pain. So let's get back to the thing. Jesus is sitting down. He's about to preach the greatest message of all time. And what does he preach? So let's keep reading. In Matthew 5, verse 3, it says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Okay, wait a minute. Wait. Blessed are people who are poor. It doesn't even make sense. How can you be blessed if you're poor? Another version in the Message version says, "You're blessed when you're at the end of your rope. With less of you, there is more of God and his rule." So with less of you, there is more of God and all the benefits that go along with that. Do you know when you're mountain climbing, there can actually only be one leader? There's only one person leading the charge. And you are quite literally putting your life and your trust in their hands. And it's interesting to me that we can do that for a sport, but we struggle so much to do it with God. It's interesting that we can do it for something that may seem fun, but we can't do it with our actual life with God. God calls us to climb to dependence. We want to climb to a destination. But God's destination is dependence. His destination is dependence. God wants to know, can you trust him? Can you actually trust him? Is your life really in his hands? Because you won't reach God's destination if you cannot exercise dependence. And so the message title today, if you're taking notes, is called The Trust Fall. The Trust Fall. Now, I've been thinking a little bit this week about trust falls. I don't know if you guys know what that is. It's where, like, I've watched a few fails of these on YouTube this week. But it's where, like, you stand like this, and I'm not going to demonstrate it because I actually don't trust any of you. But it's where you, like, stand like this, and then you have to, like, lean back. But the problem is that you can't see behind you. So you actually have to trust that someone's going to catch you. So it's kind of difficult to do. And they do it a lot in team building because they want to know, can you trust the people that you're on a team with? For me, I've found that God moves when I've been able to trust him as I fall. When he asked me to let go and fall back on him, that's when I've seen God move in my life. And I want to share this morning what that journey really looks like. I want to share what my climb up the mountain has been, because I want you to walk out of here knowing that God is the person that you should do the trust fall with, and that he's got you every single time. Okay, so point number one, the pathway to ascension is descension. Okay, the pathway to go up the mountain is often to go lower first before you go higher. Okay, here's some more Everest facts coming right at you. Okay, when you climb Everest, it can take, it's like the preparation period is insane. And it can actually take you 60 days before you are ready to be able to go to the summit. It doesn't take 60 days to climb it, but it takes 60 days to prepare you, because they go up, then they come back down. Then they go up a little bit higher, then they come back down. Then they go up a little bit higher, and they keep doing that for up to 60 days before they know that they're ready to go to the summit. Because if they tried to ascend without the right preparation, they would certainly die. If God calls you to go to a lower place, you can be assured that it is preparation, that it is acclimatizing you for what's ahead and what's up higher on the mountain. And every time we climb, every time we go up, it's a better view. And you actually learn more about God in the process, because you're climbing with him. You're climbing with him. And there are times that we see the preparation period as a setback, that we can feel like we're actually heading backwards. But you're actually not heading backwards if you're going down, because you're looking where you're going. There's a difference between going backwards and heading down. I can head backwards, or I can turn around and I can head down. And if I'm heading down, I'm very sure about where I'm going. God knows what's ahead on the mountain. He knows how to prepare you to be able to handle greater heights. I don't know if you know this, but I want you to understand this today, that God actually sees from the summit. God sees a summit view. He sees from the top of the mountain. We only see what's in front of us. We can only see what's down on the ground, that what's right in front of us. We see our situation, and it may not look good, but God doesn't see that. He sees what's coming. He sees from the top of the mountain. He sees that we're actually headed somewhere else. So we can trust that if God is at the summit, you know that he's going to see what's ahead for you, and it's always going to be good. He's never going to lead you down a ditch to leave you there, because that's not who he is. Do you know, if you're questioning God this morning, I want you to actually think about his character. Think about who he is. And if it doesn't line up, then it doesn't line up. I found God to always be good. I found that if things aren't happening in my life, then maybe I actually need to wait and understand that God's got something better. But can you trust him to lead you down the mountain first? The way down is actually the most dangerous part of the trek, because when people go up, they get confident. They're like, I made it to the top. But the thing isn't making it to the top. You actually haven't conquered Everest unless you come back down to the bottom safely. And so people get confident and they're like, you know what, I've got this. And they stop following the leader and they get injured. That's the most dangerous part, is going down. And I don't know about you, but I've had a lot of I've got this moments in my life. Too many I've got this. I've had a lot of near misses, and I've had a lot of times that I started off down the mountain by myself and God rescued me. And you know, when I first started working for the church in Sydney, I had been in a role, I was in my third year, and probably about 2 years in, I decided that I was pretty bored. I didn't really like my job that much, and that I was ready to move on. And I kind of, that whole last year, I was sort of waiting. I was waiting for God to do something. I was like, okay, I feel directionless. I don't feel like I know what's ahead. I didn't know what my next step was. And I was just in this waiting zone. And finally, I got sick of waiting. It's like, do you know what? God, if you're not going to move, I'm just going to step out. So I did. So I started applying for jobs outside the church. And do you know what the funny thing was? I actually didn't feel at peace about it, but I did it anyway because God was taking too long. So I started applying for jobs, and I got interviews. I got an interview for a really great job And it paid a lot of money because that's, you know, I was like, man, I want to like earn more money. I want more exposure. I want to do this. I want that. It was all about my own personal destination. And so I went for these interviews and was like, yep, in my mind, I'd written my resignation letter. I was like, I'm out of here. And I was in my workplace one day and a guy called Simon McIntyre walked up to me and he started the C3 movement with Pastor Phil. So he was a big deal. Actually, he still is. And so he walked in and he's like, Chrissy, I want you to manage the C3 Global Office. You should come work for me. And I laughed at him, which now I look back, I'm like, oh, I probably shouldn't have done that. And I just laughed and I was like, no. Like, I'm out of here. No. And then about a week later, he sent someone else down to try. And I'm like, by this stage, you know what? I was wrestling with both of them and I couldn't get peace. I just couldn't get it. And I'm like, fine, I'm just going to talk to you, but that's it. That's as far as this goes. I'll come and have a conversation. And then 2 weeks later, I was working for him. And, you know, it actually became the best thing that ever happened to me. It became the best thing. But it wasn't because he offered me a lot of money. It wasn't because it was the chance of a lifetime. In fact, it was an office management job. And I didn't even think I wanted to do that. But here's the thing, I could feel a peace on it. And it was the only thing that I could feel a peace on. And so it became the dream job. What started as an office management job actually became one that unlocked like incredible opportunities in the creative world. It meant that I could travel the world. It meant that I ran global conferences. It meant that I met the most influential people. It meant that I became like charge over the like creative and service like area in all of our Sydney churches, which meant that I ended up here and making Toronto my home. And you know, that job actually led me to a C3 conference in Atlanta, probably about 9 or 10 years ago. And I remember being on stage, I was playing keys, and I watched as they did an altar call for church planting. And I saw a very young Pastor Sam and Jess Picken. He grabbed her hand and I watched them walk down the front and get prayed for to be a church plant. At that stage, Toronto wasn't even in their minds. They just knew that they had a desire to plant a church. And that may not seem like a big deal to you, but it is to me. I had no idea that 10 years later I would be living in Toronto, serving their vision to build the house of God. So it meant something to me because God could see the journey. But that never would have happened if I had have left and if I had have like done things my way. Do you know, I think so often we want to make a decision and be like, God, you bless my plans. And then we get annoyed because it doesn't happen that way. And then he doesn't bless our plans. And then he ends up needing to rescue us a whole thing down the track. I couldn't see where it would lead me, but God could. And I'm so grateful that God was gracious to me when I couldn't trust him. I thought God had led me down the mountain to leave me. And I almost missed the best thing that ever happened to me. And if you are trusting in yourself, it is going to hurt. It is going to hurt. Trust falls hurt if you don't have a solid partner. YouTube it. You'll see what I mean. God is a solid partner. He will catch you if you can trust him. Do you know, I don't have any examples for you today of any times where things have not worked out for me when I've trusted God. I just don't. But I have a million examples of things that haven't worked out for me where I've crashed and injured myself because I've trusted in myself. But here's the thing. You can't catch yourself in a trust fall. It doesn't work. You can't do it. You're going to get hurt. But then why do we think that we can be in control and not let God in and not have someone actually like catching us? Why do we think that? It's obvious to me that I don't have the answers, but God does. And it doesn't mean that all my prayers are answered. Trusting God isn't conditional on him answering my prayers. I don't trust him because he meets my needs. He meets my needs because I trust him. So what is it for you? Is it a relationship? Is it finances? Is it a job? Is it moving to another city that you've been toying with? Can you trust God to lead your climb? But more importantly, can you trust God if the way that he leads you is down first? If he's leading you down, it's to prepare you for higher ground. That's life in the kingdom, that you become the lowest so that God can be magnified. My prayer for a great life is actually, God, less of me and more of you. Number two, you have to let go. You have to let go. A trust fall is a trust fail if you don't let go. If you don't let go and actually fall back into someone's arms, you're going to get hurt. It's going to fail. We have to let go of things that we're holding on to trust God. It says, but blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who let go of trust in themselves and replace it with their trust in God. You know, there's a whole lot of things that we need to let go of and replace it with God. We have to let go of our own thoughts and replace it with his thoughts. We have to let go of our own timing and replace it with his timing. We have to let go of our own strength and replace it with his strength. We have to let go of our own provision and replace it with his provision. You know, that's not easy. It's not. I'm not going to tell you that it is because it's not. And I've found that the longer the climb, the harder it is to trust. The longer the wait, the more we want to be in control. And it often switches back to, I need to let go of his thoughts, and I'm going to replace them with my thoughts. I'm going to let go of his timing, I'm going to replace it with my timing. I'm going to let go of his strength, I'm going to replace it with my strength. I'm going to let go of his provision, and you know what? I can do it myself. I'm going to replace it with my provision. And all of a sudden, I've just got a firm grip back on control, and God is no longer the leader of my climb. Do you know when you climb and you make it back down to base camp? You make it back down the mountain, you stay there until either you're in the right physical condition to be able to climb again, or the conditions are right to climb again. And they will make you wait until one or two of those things are ready. And here's the thing. The leader makes the call. The leader makes the call on how long you stay at base camp. But it's always because of a reason. And often we don't see the reason. We don't see the weather report. We don't see that our physical condition. You know, when you're mountain climbing, you can have internal things that you actually can't pick up to the outside eye. But they're still there. And if you were to go up and climb, you'd probably die. So there's reasons. If you're at base camp, if you feel like God's led you back down the mountain and you're in a season of waiting, there are reasons for it. Maybe you're okay heading down the mountain. Maybe you're like, that's cool. Like, I'm okay, God. I can go down the mountain with you. But it's in the season of waiting that you just can't let go of control. Maybe, you know, you're at base camp and you just feel like nothing is happening. But the leader is always doing something. They're always preparing. They're always behind the scenes, making sure that they know exactly what's going on so that when the conditions are right, they can say, off you go. Let's go. They are working to prepare for the climb. So when you are waiting, God is working on you. God is working on you. I found that God uses times of waiting to develop my character. I don't see the waiting room anymore as a place of punishment. I see it as a place of preparation. You know, Pastor Sam spoke last week about finding joy in the trial. And he said, we're so concerned to get out of the trial. But God is concerned about what we get out of the trial. The real test of trust is in the waiting. It's when you are believing God for something and it's not happening, but you're so focused on your own destination that you actually miss the purpose, that you're missing on what God is actually doing through you in the journey. Lamentations 3:25-26 says this, the Lord is good to those who depend on him, to those who search for him. So it is good to wait quietly for salvation from the Lord. If you feel like you're in a waiting stage right now, are you searching for him? Are you searching for him? The Message version of this says, God proves to be good to the man who passionately waits, to the woman who diligently seeks. Man, we so often miss the point. God doesn't want our trust so that he can be controlling, because that's not who he is. He wants our trust because he wants to lead us to places of blessing. And along the way, this might be a real shock for you, but he wants to be in relationship with you. He doesn't just want to lead you to a destination. He doesn't want to be a leader that doesn't have any connection with you. He wants to be in relationship with you because he loves you that much. A real relationship has tests and trials. And God wants it to be real. If we miss the heart of God in the climb, then we haven't really climbed with Jesus at all. You know, when you go through a trial or a season of waiting, don't let it pull you away from God. Let it pull you to him. We need to let go of our plans and let God design them for us. Because you know what? His plans are far greater than we could possibly imagine. That's what the Bible says. It says that we could never actually fathom. What we want is actually not even like a third of what he has for us. That his plans are exceedingly, abundantly above what we can ask or think. Ephesians 3, 20 to 21 says, God can do anything. You know, far above anything that you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He doesn't do it by pushing us around, but by working within us, his spirit deeply and gently within us. Man, do you know that there are areas in my life that I feel like God has had me in base camp in? And it's not because it's been a season of punishment, but it's because I know that he's preparing me to be able to handle the blessing that he has up the mountain. And one of those areas is relationships. And I know that I've shared this before about a relationship I felt God asked me to give up. And it was incredibly painful. And it felt like a punishment at the time. I felt like God had led me just to leave me heartbroken at the end of it. But now, man, now that I feel like I'm higher up the mountain, I can see what God saw. And I can see it was less about God fulfilling the relationship desire in me, and it was more about God taking me somewhere and to where he wanted me to go. And you know, had that relationship have worked out, I don't know that I would have followed God to where he wanted to lead me. And if I was honest, God wasn't number one. He was a very close second. But that's not number one. And how many of us love God? And I loved God. Man, I'd sought him about that. But he was still a very close second to that relationship. He needs to be number one if he's going to be able to lead you to where he wants you to go. Philippians 4, 6 to 7 says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything that we could ever understand. And his peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. As you live. He wants you to live with him. To do life with him. And you know, I found peace in the waiting. Because my pursuit is no longer about getting the relationship. It doesn't mean that I don't want that. But it means I've found peace knowing that God knows my desires. He knows. He put them there. Like, he knows what I need. He knows, and I know that he's going to have the best path to get me there. So I've learned how to let go and let God be in control of my life. And number three, God is trustworthy. Oh my goodness. Proverbs 3, 5 to 8 says, trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure everything out on your own. Man, that speaks to me. Listen to God's voice in everything you do. Everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. Don't assume that you know it all. Run to God. Run from evil. Your body will glow with health and your very bones will vibrate with life. Man, I love that so much. Trust God. Listen to God. Run to God. And then you will experience the benefit. But the first one is trust. Do you know, I think that the reason that we often don't trust is because we're not fully convinced that God wants us to live an enjoyable life. I think sometimes we struggle thinking that God really wants me to be blessed. And you know, if we go back to that scripture, it says, In Matthew 5, it says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And the word blessed is actually a Greek word, and it means happy when you translate it. So it's actually happy. Happy are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And I think that it's so cool that when Jesus gathered all of the disciples, when he made them climb up the mountain, when they really worked to hear what he would have to say to them, the very first thing that he said is, "Guys, I just want you to be happy. I just want you to get how to be blessed. I just want you to understand how to live a great life." Like, out of his entire message, the longest sermon ever preached, the first thing he wanted you to get was how to be happy. And I think that shows exactly who God is. It shows exactly the heart of God, that he would want us to be living in complete happiness with him. With him. You know, he wants to be in a real relationship with you. But a relationship can't exist without trust. You have to believe that God is good, that he loves you, and that he's able to lead you on the climb. Psalm 100 verse 5 says, "For the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation. It is never ending." There is no time in my life that I have ever regretted the climb. There is no time in my life I've ever regretted the pain of growth. And I could say that I'm a better version of Chrissy now than I was 5 years ago. I'd even go as far as saying I'm a better version of Chrissy now than I was 5 months ago. But that's not because of me. It's because I made a decision that I'm going to follow Jesus on the climb. And whether that means I'm going to go down, whether that means I'm going to go up, whether that means he's going to lead me sideways, I'm going to follow him because he knows what's best. That, gosh, he is so worth following up the mountain. And I know that he has the experience to lead me to safety every single time. Your life wasn't supposed to be lived the best way that you know how. It was supposed to be lived the best way that he knows how. And you need to have a revelation of who he is. You know, to me, God is so good. He is so kind. He is so gracious. He's full of mercy. That I don't want to do life without him. And if you're struggling with just knowing who he is, open your Bible, because it is filled with his character. It is filled with declaring who he is in your life. So if you're struggling, open the Bible and read it. And you know, the public declaration for dependence on God is actually water baptism. And we're having that next weekend in all of our services. And you know, maybe you're saying, "Chrissy, like, I haven't totally been depending on God." And as you're speaking, I can kind of feel my heart beating a little bit faster. And maybe that means that you need to get water baptized next week. Maybe this is your moment. We don't do this every week. But maybe you need to actually make a public declaration to be like, "Do you know what, God? I haven't been following you up the mountain, but gosh, I want to. And I want to leave the old behind, and I want to set a new standard. That means I'm going to actually trust, I'm going to depend on you." And after the service, man, go out and sign up. Don't delay, don't hold back from making a public declaration that your trust is in God. And you might have walked in here today and maybe you just feel like you definitely aren't at the top of the mountain. Maybe you're on your way back down. Maybe you feel like you're stuck at base camp. Maybe you're waiting on God to move. Maybe you've taken matters into your own hands. Maybe you're injured. Maybe you're hurt. No matter where you are on the mountain, God can find you. God can find you. And he can reroute you. He can heal you if that's what you need. He can give you the step up if that's what you need to get yourself back up and going again. And you're only a prayer away. If you feel like you're a bit stuck, there is so much more for you. And so this morning, I want to give you an opportunity to invite Jesus into your life, to invite him to be leading your climb. And so with every head bowed, every eye closed, all across this place, I'm going to ask a question to three types of people. The first person is, you're like, Chrissy, I like hear what you're saying, and I've never actually, you know, I'd love Jesus to be leading my climb, but I've never actually been introduced. I've never actually met him before. Then in a moment, I'm going to get you to raise your hand. The second person is, if maybe you've climbed with Jesus before, and for whatever reason, you've gone off on your own. You've decided that maybe you did know better. But you know what? It doesn't actually matter. Because you're still able to come back. You're still able to come back to base camp and climb again. That he wants to be leading your climb. So if you're away and you want to come home, then in a moment I'm going to get you to raise your hand. And the third person is, if maybe you come to church every week. Maybe you feel like you've climbed with Jesus, but you're just not 100% sure that he's leading your climb. You think he is, but you're just not sure. Maybe you come and you worship and you love God, but you've never actually prayed this prayer to invite Jesus into your heart. Then in a moment, I'm going to get you to raise your hand. So if you have never met Jesus, you've never prayed a prayer to invite him into your heart, but you want to, or if you have done that before, but for whatever reason you're away, or the third person is, if you just need an assurance, then all across this place right now, I want you to raise your hand. Thank you. I see that hand. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. You are not alone. But oh my goodness, this is the right time to have Jesus leading your climb. This is the right time to invite him into your heart. Don't let this opportunity go past. If you need him, man, put your hand up. And we're going to pray a prayer together. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. I see that.